Hello and welcome, my friends, to Intuition Awakening. My name is Janine Bozer. This is a new episode of my podcast. I haven't created one in a while. I actually ended up catching COVID back in the summertime here and have been recuperating ever since. But through this process, I've also learned a lot about myself, and I wanted to share something today about singing and kind of my journey that is going to be beginning with taking vocal lessons and how that all fits in with the world of trauma. So stick around if you're interested in hearing about my own journey with PTSD, plus what I've been up to this summer and fall, and to get a little inside scoop into some of the things that I do for healing. So to start with, like I said, I caught COVID, and that was a real shakeup in my life. Right before that, I had also had a really severe cat bite injury and a subsequent infection in my hand. During that episode, though, I also had to take some time off work because I really physically couldn't use my hands. And at the time, I'd been working some part-time jobs on top of running my business, Intuition Awakening. And I was suddenly without income for a few days. And that was really scary. I realized that I was living in survival mode. My mom asked me a really pointed question. She said, "How much longer are you going to do this?" And I thought, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm just going to keep going and tell, and I didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer for how long I was going to let myself continue to work part-time, to work 55 hours a week, to try to keep starting my business and running my business. And I have a degree in human resources, and my mom had always said, why not go get back into full-time work? And I said, I left the corporate world for a reason. I had like a mental breakdown at the beginning of the pandemic because I have medical PTSD. If you've listened to some of my social media posts or if you've tuned into my podcast before, you know this, that I had colitis when I was a kid. And so when the pandemic started, hand sanitizer, which is a trigger for me, was everywhere. Wearing a mask, which is a trigger for me, was everywhere. Talking about hospitalizations and ICU cases and the struggles people were going through with their medical health. Suddenly, everyone in the world was just as anxious as I was. I lost my marbles. And so I took a short-term disability leave, super thankful in Canada that we had access to them. And then a few months later, I was laid off from my corporate job, and I thought, I don't want to go back. Look at how much stress I was under. I'm not ready for that. But after this cat bite this year, kind of a full 2 years after I had been laid off and trying to start my business and working part-time jobs and trying to just keep myself afloat and prove to myself like I didn't need my corporate job, that I was built for the world of entrepreneurship and this was my right path. And I mean, with PTSD, with anxiety, we can really start to think in black and white terms. On top of that, I'm a Libra, can definitely think kind of in black and white terms and try to find the rights and the wrongs in a situation. And I kept thinking like I'm making the right choice for myself to be doing this part-time work and not be stressing myself out by forcing myself to work, you know, a 40-hour work week. But after a while, I was working so many part-time jobs and running my business that easily I was working 55 hours a week, week after week after week. My work day started at 4 a.m. and ended at 6 p.m. And I was like, I'm working 14 hours. I went from working 8 hours a day at a really good wage and salary with my human resources degree to running my own business, being happier, but also being much more stressed out about finances. And I thought, I'm living in survival mode. And this will be my 30th birthday this year. So I thought, wow, I'm 29 and I've been living in survival mode for all these years. And this summer, I've really been starting to come out of it, which I think is part of the reason why I ended up taking some time off this summer and looking for full-time corporate work again. And I've just started a new job in the corporate field. An 18-month term position, which I think really fits well with my life, that I don't have to get locked back into, you know, feeling like I owe a company 5 or 10 years of my life, you know, to work there forever. But also, I really enjoy what I'm doing so far. It's really interesting. The company's really great. I also know this about my ADHD, though, that in past jobs, I tend to get really excited right up front. And then when I start to get bored, I start to get really disappointed, or like, maybe this isn't what I thought it was. And until I really figured out that I had ADHD, I didn't understand why I had such trouble at jobs, why I had such trouble at work. And so I've really been on this journey of discovering myself and discovering the fact that I've been living in survival mode for so many years that I didn't even recognize I was there. Didn't even recognize that I was living paycheck to paycheck, had no savings account, that my business is slowly growing, and that's super exciting, but also that small businesses can take 6 to 10 years to be profitable. I didn't really know that. I was kind of putting the blinders on and just thinking it's going to happen any day now. It's going to, all this effort, all this work's going to pay off, and then I'll be able to pay my bills. So instead of being proactive, I was still being very reactive, which is also part of the problem that I had when I was working full-time in a corporate job, kind of a Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 type of job. So these habits and traits had followed me forward. So what does this have to do with singing? What does this have to do with trauma and, you know, my journey with Reiki and my business and everything? Starting this new job now, I've started to recognize just how much survival mode was in my life, how much I wasn't allowing myself the little pleasures in life, or how much my childhood really impacted me. For example, singing lessons. During the pandemic and when I was running my business, I started singing again. And I say again because I grew up in a small town. I loved the drama club. I was a drama kid. And I had a really good ability to project my voice to the back of the gymnasium, to the back of, you know, the audience. And so I got a lot of lead roles. I was really great at drama. And then grade like 10, 11, and 12 hit, our senior years of high school. And we did musicals and only musicals. So all of the lead roles were now singing roles. So instead, my directors they were my teachers. They were people I had known for a number of years in the drama club. So they recognized that I was really shy about doing singing roles. And I never did. I never auditioned. My competition was the vocal coach's daughter or the music teacher's daughter. Like, those were the ones that I was competing against for these roles. They had years of experience. They had grown up singing. And I felt like I was nothing in comparison because I hadn't had the training. I might have sung in the choir for a few years in church, but no one had ever taught me how to sing. And in a small town, it was this kind of idea, if you haven't been involved with singing or soccer or dance since like the age of 3, you're not going to be any good at it. So don't bother. So when I moved to the city as an adult, I was really able to start taking adult classes. I went, oh my God, there's adult beginner classes for things. That was something that wasn't available in my small town. So singing was something I wanted to do so bad, but I recognized growing up now, I wouldn't have been able to ask. Like heck, my alcoholic dad and my parents who were fighting 24 hours a day and the tension in my home and me trying to be a golden child and keep the peace between everyone. My parents would have never agreed to drive me to singing lessons once or twice a week. It just wouldn't have been an option. I would have been scolded. Who do you think you are? We don't have time for that. I don't have money for that. So I knew from a very young age not to ask for things. And now as an adult, I'm noticing throughout the pandemic, I started singing again. I started loving it. And I started to ask questions about, I wonder if I could ever learn to sing better. And I'm getting really curious with my healing. And that, I think, is part of coming out of survival mode as well, is realizing that the world we thought, or these ideas that we had, these limiting beliefs, what if they're not true? What if none of it was real because the trauma was our life and that wasn't normal? So what if, and that's almost a big, scary question. I'll be honest, I struggle with that a lot. I struggle with the grief and the anger and the guilt sometimes about, why didn't I stand up for myself sooner? Why didn't I say, Mom, Dad, I want these lessons? Why didn't I ask for my needs? Maybe they would have said yes. But also at the time, I was a child trying to get through a really tough home environment. I was just trying to stay alive. You know, that was the thing. And it's really tough to look back on that and think, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do then. I didn't get to explore. No wonder I'm 29 and just starting to explore some of my confidence and stand up for myself and advocate for myself and find corporate jobs that I actually enjoy and not just take anything to have a job. Why am I now just starting my business when I've wanted to for 5 or 6 years now? Why am I now just discovering, you know, my sexuality and, you know, realizing like maybe pansexual or just queer fits with me better than being a lesbian? And, you know, why did it take me until my late 20s to figure all this out? And a lot of it comes down to, I was in survival mode. I didn't know another way of life. I didn't know life could be fun, that things could just be interesting and joyful, and that people would allow me to do things, and that I don't need people to allow me to do things, that I'm allowed to make up my own mind. And that is tough for me still to this day, is figuring out What does Janine want? What do I want? And how to ask for that without making myself upset, but also knowing that I'm safe with someone else and asking them. So it's been an interesting journey. And right now, vocal coaching is the way that I'm kind of moving through this. I really, really love singing rock songs. I mean Disturbed. I mean like Falling in Reverse. I mean Korn, Stone Sour. I love those songs. I love singing that like deep, I have a really good deep voice. And with vocal coaching, I'm going to learn what the heck that means. Am I an alto, a tenor? I have no idea what those words are yet because I'm not familiar with the technical side. But when I was 16, kind of one of the ways I apparently was self-soothing and I didn't really know it, was I was allowing myself to sing. So on the way to school, when I was frustrated that I wasn't going to be the lead roles in my final years of high school, just when I was like hitting my peak of my skills of being in the drama club, I wasn't able to audition for any of the big roles. My directors thankfully did give me some non-singing roles or like writing a script for a little. We did commercials in between the singing acts or like during intermission. Me and a friend were responsible for creating a script of jokes and comedy. And so we still got to be kind of front and center on the stage and show off our skills, but it wasn't a singing role. So it still felt like I wasn't quite part of the main cast, but they did recognize and try to give me some opportunity to have fun and still show off my skills. So sorry if you hear my cat in the background as well. He's desperately wanting in. I'm trying to convince him to stay outside while I record this podcast. So when I started to feel that frustration that I wasn't getting the roles that I wanted, I started to sing on the way to school. I had a truck with a cassette player only, no CDs. Of course, I was old school. And I had a cassette to MP3 converter, literally a cassette tape with an aux cable coming out of it. And I would plug in my MP3 player through my cassette tape burner and I would play music on the way to school. And what I did was I thought, well, if they sing it like that, if the artist sings it like this, and if I can match my voice to them, that must mean that I'm singing well. If it's on the radio, they've done something right. So if I try to sing like them, maybe I can learn how. And that was really, really fun. I started singing, you know, Smash Mouth and Billy Talent and whatever other things were on my MP3 player at the time in the, you know, 2008, 2009. All these male rock songs, I found my voice matched with better than female voices. That kind of threw me for a loop as well, being a woman and thinking at the time I was straight, I had such a like cis heteronormative kind of, I must conform to, you know, singing the girly pop songs. And I thought, I really like rock songs. And thankfully I had a lot of friends at the time that like Metallica and AC/DC and stuff. So I fit right in with them. But that was how I started singing. And I kept up with it throughout the years. But over time, didn't practice as much. I just felt like I wasn't doing it good enough. And I would get very self-conscious when my voice cracked or I just didn't sound like they did. And I couldn't sing my favorite songs super well. So I was trying to find ones that I could sing, ones that I felt comfortable with. And that helped. Like finding out what I liked was helpful. But during the pandemic, this really, really took off for me. Being at home all the time. I've worked now from home almost exclusively since March of 2020, and I love it. I'm super glad for the opportunity for it, but I was also really lonely at home and kind of bored and broke, and I didn't have money to go to a movie or to go take classes or to go, you know, swimming or go to the beach during the summertime. I was at home a lot, and I started just popping in my headphones and singing. And whenever I took out my headphones and I could hear my own voice, I would get self-conscious, but I would just put them back in. And over time, I just kept at it, kept controlling my breath and noticing that suddenly that note was a little easier and then a little bit easier. And then I started to find TikToks and YouTube channels about singing and tips and tricks. And oh my gosh, that really worked suddenly with just that little bit of advice, like sitting with your back up against the wall and feeling like you're pulling your belly button into the wall. Suddenly I could project a higher note for longer. I could hold it. And it was just incredible to notice these tiny little things. Suddenly I could sing and I could sing well. So it had been a goal of mine to just keep practicing. I'm experimenting with screams. And you know, if you've no Disturbed, you know, their beginnings of the songs always have a scream and guttural, like grunts. It just feels good in my belly to try to emulate those noises too. And I always thought, well, is that good? Is this bad? Am I hurting my voice? I don't know. And so eventually, just this last week, I came across a TikToker. Her first name's Polly, and she's a vocal coach in the UK. And just the way she was describing, like, don't get fixated on focusing on the notes. Does it sound the same? Are you doing it good enough? And just the things she was saying really resonated with me. So I started flipping through her channel, and someone had asked if she does coaching one-on-one. And I just loved her vibe. And today we had a little 15-minute consultation, and I'm going to be booking some vocal lessons for myself in the fall. Number one, I would have thought they were way out of my price range. Actually, it's quite affordable. There are coaches out there that are quite affordable, especially having a paycheck now through my new job and noticing that I can work in this corporate job and not be in survival mode and not be scared of a corporation or my new job, or, you know, being able to advocate for myself at work. And working from home is a huge bonus for me because I get to, you know, sit with blankets and like really control the clothing that I wear. And for my ADHD and sensory, you know, I get to shut the lights off when I need to, and I need to pop my headphones in and put some music on, or pop my headphones in to tune the noise out. I get to control my environment a lot, which is very, very different than working in a cubicle space with 15 other employees. So now I have a paycheck. Now I have time. And I'm starting to find this little itch within me that wants to spoil myself. I feel really guilty about it because I feel like I should be saving my money, not spending it. Again, there's the old survival instincts, but also I'm so excited to start this new chapter of my life that is focused more on me and what I want and what I need. What does Janine want in a day? What do you want in a day? How do you want your day to look? What are things you want to try? For me, I'm starting to let myself explore the idea of going to karaoke nights once a week, or even maybe becoming part of a band one day. I didn't realize that watching the band Kids growing up and just loving watching them, that was my inner child wanting to do it as well. That wasn't me just like really being appreciative that my friends were into music. That was my inner child saying, I want to do that. Teach me. So now knowing this about myself, looking back on all these different areas of my life that I wanted to be the best, I wanted to be that person. I didn't want to just be friends with that person. I wanted to be them. Now I get to let myself do that. I want to be a professional curler, for example. I love curling. It's something I've done since I was like 12. And I took 10 years to get back into it during university age, like 17 to 27. I was so scared to go to a rink where nobody knew me. Maybe I'm not good enough. Who's going to want me on their team? I held myself back. And I don't want to say that in a negative way. I want to be really compassionate with myself when I say that, because I wasn't holding myself back to spite myself. I was holding myself back to protect myself. I felt like I couldn't do these things and be safe, and safety came first. So I stayed home. I tried to stay small, but eventually this part of me, this inner child, has been bubbling up saying, okay, I want to do this. Now that we're safe, can we do this stuff? So I want to learn to horseback ride better. I would love to show jump. Fun little fact, I'd love to be an Olympic level show jumper. I have no idea how I'd ever do that. But just knowing now that I'm not going to die by the time I'm 30, you know, I didn't realize how much of that played in my head when I was younger, especially having gone through medical surgeries and nearly dying when I was 13, I really didn't think I was going to make it to even 28. 25 was kind of the cutoff. That was as far as I could imagine. 28 was like, ooh, that would be a nice long life. And that's just the reality sometimes with us with PTSD. We don't imagine that future. It's so hard to predict or to picture and to visualize because we haven't been there yet. I always say our brain kind of needs... it needs the facts. It needs the data. It needs the evidence. Did this work well? Did this go well? And sometimes those initial evidence gathering moments where we step out and we go do something for the first time in years, or we ask for our wants and needs to be met in a new relationship, those first few moments of exploring again are really terrifying. But it does get easier because our brain starts to say, oh, well, it worked out last time. So it did work out for the last 2 years. I've found curling teams, not even just one, but multiple teams that were really happy to have me on the team because of my curling experience. I found this position that was really excited to have me because of my human resources experience, because of my agriculture experience. I grew up on a farm. This position is in farming. So it's so interesting that we can start to build up a bank of memories in our mind that are really negative because of the survival mode and the PTSD and the traumas we've been through. But we can also build a positive memory bank, practicing things, trying things with safe people, finding safe therapists, for example, or doctors, or finding that safe confidant, a friend or family member. We can start to build up those experiences where our needs were met, where we did get to try something new, where we did get to explore something. And I think that's something that's this idea with healing is that suddenly we arrive, suddenly we get to healing. And what I'm finding is it's almost like we get to our destination, like we get on the plane, we're flying somewhere doing all this healing work, and then we land. We land, we put our feet down again on the floor, and we look around going, oh my God, I'm in a new place. I am in a completely different space than what I was. And I feel confident and stable, like question mark. I feel good and I maybe don't feel too anxious today. And we don't even know what to do with ourselves. We didn't have anything planned for when we got to the healing space because we were so busy trying to just heal, trying to just live in that, you know, original location, that original fear, the original trauma. It can be really hard to picture anything outside of this. So I just wanted to share that today about my experiences, how I'm now trying to spoil myself and live a little and give that inner child what she wanted and desired in the singing lessons and joining a curling team again this fall and working a 9-to-5 job that makes me feel safe while also allows me plenty of time to run my business and make podcasts and create meditations and create healing content and advertise my content and grow my business. And I get to have it all. And that's something I don't think I've ever allowed myself to experience or think yet because I was in survival mode. So if you're in survival mode, if you're coming out of it and you're on the other side, also trying to explore, like, what does my new life look like? Welcome to Intuition Awakening. You're welcome to check out my social media pages. You're welcome to apply to work with me one-on-one. You're welcome to take my courses. I hope that you find the resources you need on my website, which is intuitionawakening.com, or you can find me at Intuition Awakening on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Insight Timer. I have plenty of resources because I know how hard sometimes it is to find resources. So feel free to check out my content. Feel free to message me or email me at info@intuitionawakening.com if you're curious. Just like message me and let me know what resonated today. I always really look forward to getting those emails or messages. So no matter what time, what year you're viewing this, I will be seeing those emails. And I really appreciate your feedback and just connecting. So feel free to say hello. I'm wishing you an awesome day and stay updated on my social media pages. I will keep you posted on how these singing lessons go. Take care, my friends.